See, I want to talk to you today about another one of those disciplines that we learn as we live in relationship with Christ Jesus and His church. Now, I know disciplines don't sound exciting, but if we don't live in discipline, we live in chaos. So we have to have that discipline about us to figure it out. So before I go there, I want to tell you why I believe these disciplines are so important. See, I believe it's a big deal for us to have an idea or a plan as we figure out what we're doing. Don't you? Don't you think it's important that we have an idea or a plan before we just go?
Yes.
I mean, if we don't know our purpose or we don't have a target to shoot at, we won't ever know if we're accomplishing the things we're meant to accomplish.
Amen.
You got to have something to measure by. So, what is our purpose here at CCNAS? I'm glad you asked. Everybody has a bulletin, right? On our bulletin, it has a mission statement. The mission statement says, through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we exist to see people's lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed. That's pretty powerful. That's a big deal. And our vision statement is, we envision Christ followers being equipped and serving through Christian love and deeds in our church community. Wow. Wow. So if this is truly our focus, then we should be learning how to share the gospel in ways that will introduce people to Jesus Christ so their lives will be transformed into the original intention that God had for His creation. I don't know. I don't know if you think about that. But God's creation, He created all of us. And all of this, I'm not talking about this building, all of this that we live in to praise Him.
Yes.
Goes back to what I just said at the beginning.
Amen.
If we sit here and listen to a band, I love to go to concerts.
You.
I'm a concert junkie. I love to go to concerts. But even at concerts, when the Spirit hits me, I don't sit still.
Oh, no.
Now, I know you don't have to raise your hand, but I know some of you journeyed off to a Toby Mac concert not too long ago.
Yeah.
Toby Mac, if you don't know who that is,
oh, yeah.
I just have to say, if you can sit through a Toby Mac concert, you're way better than most people.
Oh, yeah.
So much energy, so much live, and so much gospel that comes out of that concert.
Amen.
That's what we have to be all the time.
Yeah.
The band, we get together, we talk, we pray, we play, we have fun. We do all of that, but every time we get together, we're like, let's jam. Right? We're like, let's jam. Okay, yeah, we played this song. Now let's play something fast. In case you didn't notice, we like to speed things up. We're not real good at slowing things down. There's a reason for that. Again, the Spirit of God moves in us. The Spirit moves through the music. And some of us, I like to sing. Bill likes to sing. But some of us don't like to sing. We like to play. And through our fingers comes praise.
Amen.
It's just a thought. But we are created to praise.
Amen.
And we are created to share what's going on in our lives with those around us. That's what draws them to Jesus.
Praise God.
Think sharing Jesus without fear.
I've
talked with Andy. He's ready to do this again. We just need some people that are ready to start sharing Jesus without fear. Is anybody here afraid of Jesus? Man, I hope you're in love with Jesus.
Yes, amen.
And when you're in love with Jesus, you're not afraid of Him.
Nope.
He excites you.
Yes.
Because just like being around that special someone, when you're close to Jesus, something just happens in you. It just goes. And you can't keep it down. As people realize God's original intention for His creation, we will have to empower them. That's part of our statement. We will have to empower them. Allow them to lead and influence what we do. Wait a minute. We have to allow them to lead and influence what we do. Or, if we don't do that, they won't really become a part of his body. They won't really become a part of this body. This is what brings forever change in people's lives. By bringing them to Christ, by training them to live, and by allowing them to live and lead. That's what brings forever change. I have had people tell me all the time, not just here, but over places, where they came to a church and they found something that needed done almost right away. Now, some of them just joined in with somebody else that was doing it. Others of them were like, wow, there's a hole right here. I need to fill it. If we don't get busy, we get bored. If we don't get busy, we lose focus. We have to figure that out so we can get busy and plug other people in and let them get busy. God has something for all of you to do. Not just me, not just Barb, not just those in the back. All of us have something to do, and we need to do it. This forever change, it brings excitement. It brings curiosity. That's also known as hunger for instruction. Do you know that? It brings hunger for instruction to learn more. In other words, the people we lead to faith in Jesus will want to be equipped. They'll want to be given trust and acceptance from the people they're learning from so that they can begin to serve Christ as he asks them to serve. Are you following all of that? Good. If so, maybe you have a little better understanding of the title of this series, Basic Training to Active Army. That's what this series has been all about. I know I took a week off, but that's what I've been preaching about. We cannot be in basic training forever. We're all commissioned to make disciples of Jesus. And as we do this, we're blessed to watch them become a part of the same active army in which we serve. Any military folks around? So you know when you were in there in basic training, you were learning basic stuff, right? The main thing you learned was how to take orders. I don't doubt that. Probably why I wasn't in the military. But once you get out of basic training and you start working your way up the ranks, you then begin to be the person that's telling people why they need to do what they do. Sometimes you don't give them an explanation. You just say, do it, and they do. We have to allow people to become a part of this active army. Here's another way to see this. Remember the passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20? I've been saying this over and over and over. I'm going to say it again. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I can't help but think this is Jesus telling us to share our purpose with other people and then help them find the purpose that they need to serve beside you. That they need to serve beside you and me. This leads me to my thoughts for today's message. Amazing, I've preached two sermons already and I haven't even got to my message. All right, so this leads me to the thoughts for today. It's always been interesting to me how God trains his followers. Always. It's kind of blown my mind, to be honest with you. I mean, have you ever noticed that there are things you just know you're supposed to do? Anybody? You know in your spirit, I'm supposed to do this. Or maybe there have been times when you were doing something and you had this funny feeling that you probably should not continue. There's just something like, this is going to take me down the wrong road.
Definitely.
See, this can be a little bit confusing, but you just know that whatever it is, it's meant for your good. You know it. It's in you. And you know it's meant for your good. And it will help you to grow in your faith, and you're willing to do whatever it is. That's the Spirit speaking in you. Now, I want you to keep those thoughts as we consider what God's saying to us through the prophet Ezra this morning. I know probably most of you haven't heard very many messages out of Ezra, but I'm going to be reading to you from Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23 today, and I'm going to be in the New American Standard Version. Will you stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God? And it'll be on the screen if you'd like to follow along that way too. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, "The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek Him, but His power and His anger are against all those who forsake Him." So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and He listened to our entreaty. There ends the reading. You can be seated, and I need to pray. God, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You for the way that You move in us. I thank You for Your Spirit moving so strong, and I thank You, Lord, that You call us to action. So, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, help us receive what You have for us today. God, as I try to explain, as I try to proclaim Your Word today, I pray You'd hide me in the shadow of Your cross, that everything I do and say would be hidden from the people, but they would hear and see You instead. And God, I pray that Your Spirit would protect every ear that hears. Fill this place with Your presence, Lord, and let us hear and receive exactly what You have for us today. We will be careful to give You all the glory and praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me explain just a little bit about this book and prophet, so that you can understand why I was drawn to this passage. You see, Ezra was a prophet who had been sent back to Jerusalem to help rebuild the city after it had been destroyed. He and his companions were sent by the king of Persia. Now that's a big deal. They were sent by the king of Persia because the king was convinced in his spirit that this was supposed to happen. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second. Do you know what I just said at the beginning of this service? I said, God sent Barb and I here for a purpose. There's a purpose to our being here. There's a purpose for what we're doing. And God wants to build. Back to Ezra. After they got to Jerusalem, some of the locals started stopping by just to see what was going on. They ended up offering to help rebuild the city. Sounds like a really nice gesture. But that wasn't because they were excited about the idea. They wanted to keep tabs on what was happening. And they wanted to control how it progressed. That way, if they were involved that way, then they could cause problems as they needed to. And they could keep the Israelites under their thumb. Anybody ever felt like you were under somebody's thumb? Yeah. It kind of a normal thing. Well, so when they asked to help, Ezra turned them down flat. Just flat out, no, absolutely not. Ezra and his people were determined to rebuild the city for God without any chance of it being defiled by the wrong people being involved. And as it turned out, the local people became hostile toward the Israelites. And this caused Ezra and the others that were with him to stop building and start protecting themselves. That's the background. I left out a lot. So any of you that have done any studies on Ezra, I'm sorry. But I left out a lot. That just kind of gives you a background of it. See, as the people got afraid, they stopped doing what God was calling them to do. As the people started looking around and seeing what was happening, they started backing off from some of the things that God was telling them to do. So, I want to move fast forward now. Just a little bit, but move fast forward. And we begin to see that the king, once again, gives approval to begin the rebuilding process. And Ezra is commissioned to lead the people back to work. Well, that's a pretty cool idea, that somebody would have that commission and be sent to lead people back to work. That means that he would be in charge of making sure that the workers and their families will be safe as they travel and begin to rebuild Jerusalem one more time. That's where we stop to read this passage. And what I really want you to see is how he goes about protecting the people. I think that's important, the way he goes about protecting the people. See, verse 21 says, "Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions." What does this say about fasting? This is only one passage. I realize that. But I promise you, if you do a search, you will find a lot of passages throughout, especially the Old Testament, but about fasting and why this is important throughout the Scriptures. It's saying that when we truly are desperate for God's intervention in our lives, fasting is a really good way to show it. That's what it's saying. Ezra's call to fast was a plea for God to keep them all safe. Now think about this with me. Can you imagine receiving a call from your superiors asking you to go and rebuild your city? I mean, could you truly see yourself being asked by the President of the United States to go back to your hometown? You know, the place that you adored, where you spent your best days, where your favorite days happened, where your carefree childhood days that you loved happened. And he asked you to go and make it like it was back then. Make it like it was back then. That's interesting in itself, and there's probably a sermon there, but I'm going to let that one go. And when you said yes, you found out that the people that had moved into that area didn't like your family. They didn't like your family. Not only that, but they didn't want you or anyone else to put things back the way they were. And they were prepared to fight to keep you out. This actually reminds me a lot of the church. Hold on. See, I've been in some churches where people didn't want anyone telling them what they needed to change. People didn't want to hear anything about needing to change. Can you believe that? Yeah. That just doesn't sound right.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah, it does. Thank you. Thank you, Stacy. Yeah, it does. I mean, they didn't want some young punk telling them that they needed to start meeting outside of their building in lift groups. I mean, in small groups. They didn't want some pastors telling them that they didn't need to change their focus and start giving away the territory or ministry that they've been guarding for years. They didn't see any reason to change, and they didn't need anyone telling them why they thought they did. Maybe you can relate to some of that. See, Ezra is facing the same problems many of the churches face today. He's realizing that there is something about what's going on back in Jerusalem that has to change. Ezra wanted to know that he and his people were going to be safe. He was trying to get them back to make the difference, but they had to be safe to do it. So he called the whole assembly to a fast. The whole assembly. It wasn't like he said, okay, now I know you women and children, you're going to need to eat, so you don't have to fast. No, he called the whole assembly to a fast. So, as a fast, what do you mean when you talk about a fast? A fast is you and I deciding to give something up that will remind us of our need. Most of the time when we fast, we give up food. That makes pretty good sense, right? I mean, I could probably give up coffee and it would work about the same. Actually, I know it does. I've done that. It was pretty tough for me. But who in this room can go a full day without eating and not remember they're hungry? Barb, keep your hand down. Anybody else? All right, good. All right. All right. So not very many people can do that. And the truth is, I can't go more than an hour or so without thinking, I should probably eat something. Truth is, I'm not even hungry, but I think about it and I think, well, you know, I'll just grab a snack. Why am I grabbing a snack? I'm not hungry. Because it's been an hour. I should eat something. Right? Come on, guys. Get my back. Thank you. I got some guys here. Thank you. Thank you. Each time, here's the deal about a fast. When we fast, we're reminded of what we're asking God to do. When we fast, we're reminded of what it is that we're asking God to do. And each time we remember the fast, we're supposed to pray, meaning we're supposed to cry out to God and expect Him to answer. When you pray, do you pray just because it's supposed to happen? Or do you pray because you expect God to hear your call, hear your cry, hear your prayer? I hope you pray looking for an answer, expecting God to move. If not, we need to go back to prayer. We can talk about that again. I want you to know, fasting isn't for sissies. Fasting isn't for sissies. Fasting will cause you and I to see God move. Fasting will challenge you, and fasting will change you. Do you realize that when we are truly trying to change someone else, and we spend time praying for them, and we spend time looking for ways to connect and help them so that they can see the need that they need to change, do you know what normally happens? We change. Amen. We change. And as we change, we see that they might not have had this so wrong, or maybe they change with us. But why is that? Because as we seek God in a situation, we end up seeing it through His eyes. That's what fasting does. It opens our eyes. Amen. And as He shows us what He sees and how He sees it ending, we find ourselves filled with compassion, empathy, and love for the person or people we are asking Him to change. That makes a big difference. Then once we've been changed, we find ourselves both willing and available. Did you catch those two words? Willing and available to do what it takes to share love and care and truth with those same people. It's really a beautiful thing. Ezra says he's ashamed to ask the king for anything more than he'd already given him. Now, when I read that, I wondered, why would you be afraid or ashamed of asking the king? It says, verse 22, "For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because he had said to the king, 'The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger were against those who forsake him.'" Huh. I think Ezra had already been talking to the king. Don't you? I mean, he'd already told the king about how great his God was. He'd already explained how God could and would watch over them as they accomplished this task he believed God himself had put on the heart of the Persian king. So how could he go back and ask for protection from an army when he had already bragged about the might of the God that he had served? You get this? Do you see how this is a call for us? Now I want you to read verse 23. "So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty." That means he listened to us as we cried out to him. This is what we all need to see. When Ezra realized he couldn't accomplish what he needed to do without God's protection, he called for a fast. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to respond when we're in need. For that matter, that's how the church is supposed to respond to all of our needs. Do you understand that as you and I seek to know the Lord and his desires for our lives, he begins to shape us, he begins to mold us, he puts things back to the way they were when he created you, and he gives you vision to see that there is much more if you'll humble yourself and submit to his love for you. That sounds weird. Submit to his love. You see, that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to lavish us with love. He wants to pour out peace. He doesn't want to cause turmoil. That's not God. He begins a new work in you, and he rebuilds the life that you were meant to have, to live. That's why it seems so right when you find your ministry. That's why it feels so good when you find your place in the church. That's why you know you're blessed as you give your life, as you give your money, as you give your whole being, every thought as well as every movement, to the work that he's doing in you and through you. That's what it means when God says, "I just want all of you." Don't hold back. Give it to him. Let him work in you. Church, there just isn't any better way to know God. There is nothing better than knowing God in this way. And those of us who have determined in ourselves to be all he created us to be, we're understanding why we're moving in the direction that we're moving. Jesus has called us to be a light in the Spring Hill community. He's asked us to show the people the way back to him. He's giving more and more direction as we're willing to receive what he shows us. And he's calling us back to himself. He wants us to see him as he rebuilds his kingdom through us. He has so much more for us if we'll listen to his call on our lives. Now, this is where verse 31 comes in. I'm not sure if that made the bulletin, to be honest, but verse 31 kind of brings it together. It says, then we journeyed from the river Ahava on the 12th of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was over us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and the ambushes on the way. See, this is how God works. He supplies the call, and then he delivers. He gives us a desire to see something happen, then he makes it happen as we obey his direction in our lives. He shows us what he wants to do, then he does it through us. So, one more time, let's look at our adopted vision and mission statements. Through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we exist to see people's lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed. And we envision Christ followers being equipped and serving through Christian love and deeds in the church community. I believe it's time for us to call a fast. I believe we all understand our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ, and that is to reach the lost and teach the Christ followers. So, now we need to get serious about this call he's given us. It's time to declare our allegiance to Christ and show this community how much they need him. He's raising us up to be an army that he intended us to be. He's asking us to become a blessing to his church, each other, and the people around us. He's giving us direction as we seek his face. And he's making us into his image as we humble ourselves and follow his calling. Consider yourself commissioned. And your newest mission is to join me as I begin to fast and pray for more. Will you give yourself and your resources, your strengths and your gifts, your love and your might, see the people of this community come to know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Not keep him in here, not keep him in your house, but let the people of this community see they need to know Jesus and his saving grace. And as he draws people to himself through you, will you allow them freedom to become who he's calling them to be as he molds them and calls them? Jesus is already moving through CC Naz. Will you allow him freedom to use you to move even more? Stand with me.